Welcome back to The Deep Dive, the show where we take complex information, unpack it, and give you those essential insights. Today, we're diving into something really fundamental. It's all about how we organize data efficiently in software. You know that feeling, right? You're faced with just a mountain of data, scattered bits, and you wish you could just structure it better, make sense of it. Well, that's our mission today. We're exploring a really powerful data structure called records. We'll look at why they're so important for handling diverse info, how they stack up against simpler methods, and crucially, how you actually build them, maybe using something like Python.
Exactly. We're going to be looking at some, let's say, core concepts in how modern software gets built, moving beyond just basic data storage to something much more structured, much more powerful. Think of it like upgrading from a pile of sticky notes to a properly cataloged library system for your data.
Okay, let's unpack that then. Before we even get to records, let's talk basics. Most people are familiar with simple variables, right? Like one container, one piece of data, a name, maybe a number, true, false.
Mm-hmm. Single values.
But what happens when you need lists of things, related things?
Right. So historically, and even in simpler programs now, you might use one-dimensional arrays, mm-hmm. or in Python, often just lists. They're great for storing a sequence of related values, typically all of the same kind of data, like all numbers or all names. You access them by their position, their index, starting from zero, usually. So you could have one list for student names and another for student scores.
Ah, okay. And that leads straight to parallel arrays or parallel lists, doesn't it? Where you have that student names list and then a totally separate student scores list.
Right.
And you just assume that the first name goes with the first score, the second with the second, and so on, based on the index.
Precisely. You're linking related data purely by its position in separate lists. And while that's, you know, a common technique, it gets really unwieldy fast.
How so?
Well, think about it. If you want to store a student's name, their ID, their score, and their grade, suddenly you're juggling four distinct lists.
Yeah, four lists, just for one student's info.
Yeah, and you have to keep them all perfectly synchronized. What if you delete a student from the name list but forget the score list?
No, chaos. Mismatched data everywhere.
Exactly. It raises this big question. Isn't there a better way to group all the different pieces of information about one single student together, instead of scattering them across all these lists?
Right. It feels like all that info, name, ID, score, grade really belongs together. And this is where records come in. Yeah, this is the problem they solve.
That's the core idea. A record lets you bundle multiple pieces of data together as a single unit. And crucially, those pieces of data can be of different types. A name, which is text. An ID, which might be a number. A score, which is a number. A pass-fail status, which is true-false.
So it's like a custom container designed specifically for, say, a student.
Perfectly put. A record is defined as a data structure that stores values of varied types. It's a huge step up from parallel lists. It logically groups all the attributes, all the characteristics of one single entity into one place.
Okay, I'm seeing it. So instead of separate lists for username, password, email, you'd have a single user record holding all of those.
Exactly. All bundled together. Makes the code immediately clear.
So you could have like a book record with its title string, ISBN another string, and maybe copies available, an integer.
Mm-hmm.
Or a car record. Make string, model string, mileage, integer, sale price, a real number, a float. It just makes intuitive sense.
It does, and the versatility is key here.
Yeah.
Think about student data. Forename, surname, date off test, mark, maybe 0, 100, pass, a Boolean, true, false. All in one student record.
Right.
Or for a game character, name string, weapon string, danger level integer.
Okay.
Even smartphone specs. Make, model, storage capacity integer, has fingerprint scanner, Boolean. It just tidies everything up beautifully.
And it avoids those mismatching errors we talked about with parallel lists.
Radically reduces them.
Yeah.
Improves clarity, reduces complexity, and just makes the whole system easier to understand and maintain.
Okay, conceptually, I'm sold. But how do we actually build these? Especially in Python, you mentioned it doesn't have a specific record keyword.
Good question. Python is very flexible here. The most common and generally the most robust way is using classes.
Classes, right. Object-oriented programming stuff.
Exactly. A class acts as a blueprint. You define the structure. What fields does this record have? And what kind of data does each field hold? So you can define a city class. And you specify it needs a name, string, a country, string, a population integer, and maybe a language string.
So the class is the template.
It's the template. Then you create instances of that class. Each instance is one specific record.
Ah, so current city, Paris, France, 241,000 French would create one actual city record based on that blueprint.
Precisely. And current city is now an object, a single variable holding all that related information.
And you can access the bits easily, like currentcity.name to get Paris.
Yep, currentcity.population to get the number. It's clean, it's explicit. Python 3.7 onwards also introduced data classes, which are like a shortcut for creating these data holding classes with less boilerplate code. Very handy.
Okay, classes make sense. You also mentioned dot lists. Can you use plain old Python lists for this?
You can, especially for simpler cases or maybe quick scripts. It's less structured, but possible. You could represent a student record as just a list. Student data is John Doe, history, 1685.5. True.
So index 0 is the name, index 1 is the subject, index 2 is the age.
Yeah.
Like that.
Exactly. You're relying on the position again, but this time within a single list that holds different data types.
And you just assign values like student data equals Jane Smith.
Mm-hmm. And display the whole list or student data 2 to get the age. It works.
Seems straightforward, but maybe less readable than student.age.
Definitely less readable, especially if the list gets long or complex. You have to remember what index means what. Classes give you those meaningful attribute names.
Okay. So classes are generally preferred for structure and clarity, but lists are an option.
That's a good summary. And you can also have lists of lists to represent multiple records, just like you can have lists of class instances.
Right, because having just one record isn't usually the end goal, is it? In the real world, you're dealing with collections of students or cities or books.
Absolutely. Being able to create a single record is step one. The real power comes when you manage collections of them. And that's where we talk about arrays of records, or, again, in Python, usually a list containing multiple instances of your class, or a list containing multiple of those simpler record-like lists.
So you could have a cities list that holds maybe hundreds of those city objects we talked about?
Exactly. A single list where each element in the list is a complete city record with its name, country, population, everything.
Ah, now that sounds powerful. Because then you could do things like read data from a file. Like a CSV file.
Yes, CSV is very common.
Read that data, create a city record object for each row in the file, and store all those objects in your city's list.
Precisely. Instead of reading into, say, four separate parallel lists and hoping they line up, you read each row and create one structured city object. Much cleaner.
And then you could process that list, maybe sort the cities by population, find all cities in a certain country.
All those operations become much more logical and easier to code when your data is structured this way. Searching, sorting, filtering, updating, it's all based on manipulating that list of record objects.
This really reminds me of that practical example, the zoo animal record structure problem mentioned in the materials.
Ah, yes, a great example.
Instead of parallel lists for animal name is endangered, continent, average lifespan, enclosure, which sounds like a nightmare.
You just define a zoo animal class or record structure.
Right. With fields for each of those attributes.
Yeah.
Name is a string, is endangered is a Boolean.
Continent may be a string, average lifespan, perhaps an integer or float, enclosure, string, or number. You decide the best type for each piece of data.
And suddenly you're thinking about the animal as a whole unit.
Exactly. The code becomes much cleaner, much more intuitive. You're operating on animal objects, not trying to keep five separate lists in sync.
The benefits seem really clear then. Better organization, especially for mixed data types.
Definitely. Reduced code complexity compared to juggling parallel arrays.
And easier to maintain, right? If you need to add a new piece of info about the animal later, you just add a field to the class.
Precisely. It vastly improves maintainability. It's not just about organizing the data. It's about organizing your thinking about the data, structuring your thoughts.
So that wraps up our deep dive into the world of records. We've gone from simple variables, saw the problems with parallel arrays, and landed on the elegance and power of records for structuring diverse information.
Mm-hmm. Records really give you that robust, organized way to handle complex data. Whether you use Python classes or maybe data classes or even lists for simpler things, they're a fundamental tool. They help you build software that's easier to understand, easier to maintain, and less prone to certain kinds of errors.
So what's the takeaway for you, listening? Next time you're faced with organizing data, maybe it's your own project, maybe analyzing something complex. Think about this. Imagine you needed to find all the endangered animals in that zoo example. How much easier is it to search through a list of zoo animal records where each record tells you if it's endangered?
Compared to checking a separate is endangered list and hoping the index matches the right animal in the animal name list.
Yeah. The answer, As we've seen, it's just profoundly simpler, more elegant, and safer with records. So go forth, structure your data, and unlock that clarity and power.